Hi, this is Fabi Fa.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like
walk like an Egyptian.
Qué profunda.
Hello, hello, hello.
Que show.
How are you doing, Babelito?
Estoy bien lleno, güey.
Oy,
I went hard on those wings.
Oh, mm-hmm. How hard? Tell me about it.
We are eating again in this podcast. We're eating pizza and chicken wings.
I love pizza. I could eat a whole meat and pizza all by myself.
Calmate, Selena.
It's Selena. So,
whatever.
Today we have two lovely guests with us. Our friends, interns, assistants.
Estudiantes.
You're students.
Mm-hmm.
Carla Lagunas.
Hey.
And Jess Alvarez.
Hello.
Bienvenidas al show.
Glad to be here.
Yes. So both of you guys are artists.
Yes.
Both of you guys are ladies. Mm-hmm. And both of you guys are brown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's not all we're going to talk about.
Let's get that out of the way.
I'm just pointing it out.
Yeah.
But both, all of us, did you go to UNLV too, Bo? Yeah, you, for your undergrad,
yes.
Right?
We all undergrad.
Hey. We all have that UNLV connection. So if we're talking shit about a school, maybe that's the one we're talking about.
But
I jumped around.
Hey, yeah. I still have to graduate.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Yeah, and I still have to work.
Well, I guess those stories are out the window. This is going to be a 10-minute episode. But anyway, tell us a little bit about yourselves and what you do and what drives you and what you're about. You know, your whole life story. Just kidding.
How long do I have?
We are going to start with you, Carla.
Okie dokie. Well, I wasn't born here in Vegas. I was born in Chicago. I lived in Mexico for a year and a half as a baby, and then my parents moved to Las Vegas. My dad's a construction worker all his life, still is, and that's how he maintains me and his five kids. So,
what part of Mexico?
Michoacan, my dad is, and Guanajuato, my mother.
Ay, Guanajuato.
I know. Gorgeous.
All right, so I'm Jessica Alvarez, and I also was born here. You weren't born here. I just said also.
Well, in the States.
I didn't think that. Yeah. So I was born here. I was raised here. My mom's from Mexico, and then my dad was born and raised here as well. And so I have deep roots with Vegas, but also my mom was very insistent on like keeping traditional and knowing about where mm-hmm. we were from.
Mm.
And so a lot of that, like in my artwork, I try to show that, those connections.
Yeah, let's get into it. So let's get into your artwork. Mm-hmm. I know that, Jess, you just graduated from UNLV.
Congrats.
With yeah, yay. Congratulations.
Yes. I just saw some pictures of your BFA show too,
yeah,
right?
So you. Describe your work a little bit.
Okay, so my work, like I like to work with papel picado, but instead mm-hmm. I do it with cloth.
Okay.
And so it's kind of like, at first it kind of was, not kind of, it was going into the whole trying to tie in like seamstresses or more so like the maternity side, the maternal side or the feminine side of the culture and tying it in and showing it and representing it. And so that's why I work a lot with cloth. And so a lot of it's just like the family structure and really just breaking down the whole machista culture.
Yeah.
Because I was raised in a very religious, very strict community.
Mm.
And so that really was a deep root in that.
Get into that. What do you mean by that?
So my parents are evangelical Christians.
Aleluya, amen. Gloria a Dios. Cristo Redentor.
Alabaré. Ay, Dios mío.
Okay, sorry. I don't know if I've talked about it on the podcast, but I was raised the exact same way that you were. And it's so funny because Jess and I are actually related through a cousin. Yeah. We're cousins through a cousin.
Yeah.
So we're not technically cousins. But
we're cousins.
But we're cousins.
So primos segundos.
Terceros?
Is it by marriage?
So my cousin, Yesenia, is my first cousin.
Shout out, Yesenia.
Shout out.
Hey.
Shout out to you. she's my first cousin, but on her mom's side, which is not related to me, Jess is her first cousin.
No, my dad's side.
Your dad's side, sorry.
My dad's side, yeah.
No, but Jess's mom
is related
to your dad.
Yeah. It's my dad's niece.
I need to see a family tree.
So her mom is my cousin.
So we're cousins. That's all we're trying to say.
I love the tray.
Yeah. But anyway, we were raised, we didn't go to the same churches, but we kind of were in the same circles. I remember seeing you when we were little and stuff. But
yeah.
And that's so cool that we reconnected through UNLV. Okay. So you interpret your work through, okay, go back to what you're saying. Sorry.
Okay. So my work really focuses on like that community, that traditional community that really stays within their roots.
Mm-hmm.
So I present it, but I'm also making statements mm-hmm. about it as well, and breaking a lot of like the cultural things that are considered taboo there. Like, oh, the woman was always like in my case, I was raised to believe like the woman was always second.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. in this place, I'm making it first. I'm showing and mm-hmm. representing it as first.
Yeah. One of your pieces I remember seeing is a quinceañera mm-hmm. piece, yeah. right? So it was a sculpture involving papel picado, a lot of different mediums.
Yeah.
It was multimedia. You even had a piece of it that was a sculpture of a figure
yeah.
with a big quinceañera dress made out of different things, and then it was accompanied with a book, like yes. a quinceañera book almost,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
That's
no, exactly.
awesome. And I also noticed in the installation that you had a lot of butterflies. Is there a specific
like connection to that,
or is there like meaning to the butterflies in your piece?
In that case, like I really want to make the connection with the symbolism of the butterfly within the Latino community,
okay.
which mm-hmm. a lot of it's transformation, a lot of it's connected with the female figure and even sexuality, even with migration as well.
Yes, that's what I was thinking, because yeah. I was thinking of the poster, which I'm looking at right now from Culture Strike,
uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah.
and the symbol of the butterfly who becomes a symbol of yeah. migration. But I also was thinking of 100 Years of Solitude, because there's one scene in the book where uh-huh. the guy is in love and he's always walking around with butterflies around him.
That's
and it's
true.
Like the idea that, yeah. So when I saw that piece, I thought about those things and I was so curious. But I've known about your work through Instagram and Justin, but I never met you. We just met yesterday, but I feel like we've known
but
each other for a long time.
So you two know
yes.
each other.
No, but like
but
really,
no,
like in a personal,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Carla, you have taken classes from Babelito before
yes.
too at UNLV,
two
right?
Two classes, yes.
And you are also an artist. You're mm-hmm. also, you also have taken a lot of art history classes.
Yes.
So you're graduating soon, maybe next semester,
yes.
right? Awesome. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about your time in school and what your art is like.
Well, unlike Jess, I was raised in more of like a secular background. My mm-hmm. parents were culturally Catholic, but they didn't practice. We went to church very few times. And although family was a big thing for me and for my entire family as a whole, I'm very well connected. It wasn't like a driving factor to a point where like my morality or anything was, you know, kind of, you know, I felt their judgment or at all. Like, I was free to do more of those things. I do felt the machismo within it, but I'm blessed to have a lot of aunts who, in the 70s, they went on to do school at a time where women in Mexico, they weren't seen as, like, their education was a waste of time.
Yeah.
So they were seen as a waste of money. And I remember my grandfather being very adamant about them not getting an education past high school. And they went ahead and said, you know, fuck that. We're going to do
mm-hmm.
it. And luckily they had a lot of brothers who supported them. And
that's
and
awesome.
So, yeah. So I have a background of women who said, you know, no, I'm going to pursue what I want to do and do it. And if I want to start a family, I'll do that too.
And does that reflect in your artwork? What is your chosen medium?
I'm mostly a painter. I've done performance pieces, installation pieces, and although I don't focus on my culture precisely as like as a means to make it visible,
mm-hmm.
it's impossible to escape, and I enjoy the fact that it appears. You know, my Catholic leanings, my fascination with iconography, it appears in my work, and I like how it just creeps up my use of color, and like there's that inclination, and I want to explore that more, but not force it, you know. Just
I have that was actually my next question, because as you both of you as being identified as Latinas
mm-hmm.
or Chicanas, working in a predominantly white art school,
mm-hmm. yeah,
how was were you pushed to perform your identity within that specific program, or you felt like you had to do it, or you're still figuring out? I wanted to hear from both of you.
Oh, man. Okay. So one of the things, like, when I presented my work, especially to outside artists and a few professors, the first question was, like, "What? Why isn't this folk art? This is folk art." And I was like, no, it's
That's
not.
True, though.
It's not folk art. Just because it's of a different culture does not make it folk art.
I hate those categories.
Yeah.
No, I stood up for that.
But see, that's a way of dismissing it. And by saying folk art, it's the opposite of fine art, right?
Yeah.
And it becomes something not worthy of the white cost.
No, it is. It is. It's completely like, oh, it's because it's not my culture. It's not my knowing. It's not of this realm that we think is, you know, basically white society. Therefore, it's the other. It's folk.
It's a little niche. It's a little novelty.
So when you hear folk, did you feel the need to go into quote-unquote the fine art realm, whatever that means to them?
No, I asked them, like, what makes it folk to you? Like, what is it?
Yeah.
And they would come up with, like, well, because it shows, like, you know, the pattern work that's traditionally seen in that. And I'm like, that's culture. Doesn't, like, a lot of white art show American culture?
Quilting.
Does that make it, like, folk art? Isn't that folk art as well? And they're just like, never mind.
Fascination with cowboys.
They get into the materials, too, though. Like, when I make piñata work, it's like, well, this is tissue paper. You know, it's not going to last. I'm like, well, how long do you need it to last? Like, how long are you going to be around? Because it's paper. Like, it's, you know, so, like, I'm interested in why... Well, I think I know why, but you're using fabric for papel picado. I think that's tying it to the maternal
the matriarchy, right?
Yeah. But were you drawn to using fabric instead of paper because of that? Because of the archival nature of fabric versus paper? Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was. And also because I wanted something that I could preserve.
Uh-huh.
Like preserving a culture, something important.
Mm-hmm.
To where it's rather than, oh, okay.
Like how an heirloom lasts.
Exactly. Mm.
And also, what I find interesting is how we use this type of language without really knowing the context. Mm. Because this type of language was created specifically for that reason, to create hierarchies within the art world. Mm-hmm. So the use, for example, in Mexico, the use of the word popular, it's not something that we don't really see till the beginning of the 20th century.
Yeah.
And that was used to identify, again, the art that was not fine art, whatever that means. And it was also a form to create ideas about Mexican identity.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like very political, the use of the words and the way they are created, but they are so sedimented in the way that we think about art that when we say folk, that when we say... the one we say, like manualidades, exactly. Mm-hmm. Craft.
That's also one of
artesanías. Oh, yes. It becomes a way to make the separation. And this is one of the reasons why our raza, in a way, is afraid to go into museums, in a way, is afraid to go into galleries because there's those distinctions.
Exactly.
It's like we can feel identified with folk art, but somehow fine art, it's not for us. And that's bullshit. Yeah. Mm,
yeah.
There's an issue with accessibility with museums. It's not a welcoming place for families. It's not a welcoming place for a lot of people who maybe feel like those white walls, those the fact that there's a reception desk, the way they're structured is definitely for people who know what they're looking for and they have a certain identity to themselves, and they're largely white and privileged, and they have time to spend like this afternoon out, you know.
Yeah.
And I've always felt kind of the fact that my parents were never interesting to go to an art museum. It's like it can't be just because they don't enjoy art.
Yeah.
It's has to do with something else. Like there's some cultural separation.
Yeah, and I know Carla, you and I have talked about this a little bit. Like a lot of institutions that I've dealt with, or I shouldn't say dealt with, that sounds hostile, that I've interacted with and been a part of, will say things to me like, oh, look, we have our labels in Spanish and in English. Like, and then they look at me like, okay, I snaps to you, but I'm like, I'm going to read the English ones because I read faster in English. But a lot of times institutions will say, okay, look, we did the catalog in Spanish and English and we did the labels. Like we did our job to engage the Latino community.
We did it, you guys.
But, but why? But how? Like, how does that engage anybody? Like, that's minimum what you should be doing if you are in a city that has a large Spanish-speaking population. But then let's get past that. Like, what kind of work are you showing? Mm-hmm. Like, the wayfinding in your museum, is it welcoming? Like,
how are you representing all cultures within that museum?
How are you representing the cultures? What kind of programming do you have?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Where's your entrance? Like, what? How easy is it for people to park? Is it expensive? Like,
is there places to dine nearby that are affordable?
Exactly. There's a lot of factors, right, when it comes to welcoming certain communities. For example, here in Las Vegas, remember when the MGM was built in the 90s? They built a giant... You guys are way younger than...
Wait, was it the lions? The lions inside?
Okay, remember? Okay, so lions, tigers, you know, those are good luck. Yeah, so they were trying to... most of the gamblers here in Vegas are Asian, you know? So a lot of casinos are trying to
cater.
Mostly Chinese gamblers, right? Mm-hmm. It's bad luck in a lot of Asian cultures to walk through the mouth of an animal, kind of like in Aladdin, remember?
Yeah.
So the entrance of the MGM... Mm-hmm. was a big lion's mouth, like, open. So people would have to walk through the mouth. So nobody wanted to go to the MGM because nobody did their research on...
Who were their market?
Who are they marketing to? Like, they were marketing to people that they didn't know anything about.
Mm-hmm. But this is... And this is one of the... This is one of the reasons, like, in TV shows, for example. Yes, you can have your token person of color, but if you have anybody doing the writing for that person or doing the, like, the producing the shows that are people of color, then nothing's going to change. Like, it's just...
We need to discuss that. Yeah. The fact that there isn't people like us in museums, curating, making shows and doing things like that. There aren't enough. We're not well represented there. And they need to be represented the whole community because everyone contributes to these. These are public places. And they need to be accessible to everyone.
So with that in mind, how, getting back to the original question, how was your experience about choosing your medium? Like, did you decide to do painting? And did you feel like your identity had to be a factor within your work? Or you decided to get away from that? Or how did it work?
I don't think I ever ran away from it. I think it was just something that... I'm like really heavy into art history, and I think that's affected a lot of the things I do. I've been moving towards fabric as well. I really enjoy just the femininity in fabric and how I like to mimic almost domesticity with it. You know, my mother, my grandmother washing cloth and stains, and how bed sheets get stained, and it just fascinates me that, you know, that's part of the material now, and I want to start working paintings on that kind of bent. Mm. Like, I'm very much in tune with my identity, and I understand it, but it's, I feel like maybe being a Latina isn't the most interesting part about me. Like, there's so many other things too, you know, being a woman, growing up in Las Vegas, growing up in the way I have been, and with immigrant families in an environment that maybe aren't accepting to how we're raised and how they perceive a child should have their childhood. And so all these things also contribute to me. And I love my culture, and I see myself Mexican. I see myself as a brown person. I can't escape that. That's nothing I would ever want to escape. I do love it. But in my work, I guess maybe it doesn't reflect as much as Jess, where, you know, she just, she gets at it, you know? I love how it bothers them too. And it bothers the administration. Like, they hate the fact that she's, no, I'm going to do this. And I love that. I'm very proud of you.
There's a lot of doubt. Like, cause I went big and they're like, you're never going to finish on time. And I was like, why do you doubt me so much?
Oh my God.
Like, why do you doubt me so much?
And it became the center of that show. Believe me. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
You can relate to that.
I'm the center of every show.
Bitch. No, I'm just kidding.
You sit in the middle of the room.
I asked too because I've been to critiques with artists, with students, and I remember being in one, and one of the professors, a white professor, asked this student, and she was a black student. She said, well, you need to correct your race problem, and then we'll talk about
it. I heard
Excuse
that.
Me?
Mm-hmm. Was it? I'm because not going to name her, but I think I know who she is.
Where?
This person, well, I think she was doing portraits.
Yes.
And they said, like, you need to fix your race problem with your portraits, and then we'll talk about it. I was floored. I wanted to scream. I waited for this person to leave, and I had a conversation with the student because it was just, It's so fucked up. Like, you have to deal. Like, it's a problem.
She
like,
had to fight your color that entire
is a problem.
Semester.
Your culture is a problem. And that happens so often. So when you were telling me about the idea of labeling things like craft, like folk, like it's the same thing, it's just different language.
I was there for their final critique. And I think I know who you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And there was a portrait of a woman doing her nails. Mm-hmm. And she had a filer in her hand. And there was a student who, just a grad student, mm-hmm. who said, she looks aggressive. The figure. And I was like, she's just doing her nails. And she started telling the artist, like, why does she, you should have like painted her nicer because she looks aggressive. But my only thought was like, it's a woman doing her nails. The only thing is, I feel like this is just connected to skin tone.
Yikes.
Because if it had been another race, it would have been, oh, it's a woman doing her nails.
Wow.
Because it led into why, because someone asked, why is it an aggressive figure? And like, oh, because she has a filer in her hands. But it was completely just a normal act of doing your nails.
But it was a threatening presence in the canvas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, the person I'm talking about wasn't in another school, but this is so...
Oh, really? This happened here.
The point is that it's so normal. This kind of thing... Yeah. And it's what, quote-unquote, microaggressions, right? Where they trying to critique, quote-unquote, they try to help, quote-unquote, your art. But then they end up doing this. They end up doing these mm-hmm. microaggressions that are symptomatic of like so much messed up things. But anyway.
We already have so much going against us as not being born into a privileged background where parents already have access to the arts, to people who would pay for arts. We're already in a city that doesn't have a lot of patrons. We already have a lot of stacked against us too. And to have it on our like the most earliest start of our careers be told by professors that our art is invaluable. That what we're doing has no place in art. You should be going somewhere else. What you're doing is you should be doing in a technical art school, and you know it's.
Oh, I know. I rolled my eyes. I know.
Oh my god!
You know what's crazy is I'm thinking back to my college years, mm-hmm. and I can't think of one professor, grad student, TA that was a person of color that taught me.
But that's predominantly every school in this country. I mean, I think it's shifting and there's more schools than others that have faculty of color. But there are universities that pride themselves of having a student body of all different colors. Yeah. But when it comes to the faculty, it doesn't show. Again, coming back to what we're saying in the museums, when it comes about diversification, mm-hmm. whatever the fuck that means, you have to do it across the whole entire thing, not just with a couple of parts of your institution. I mean, it's a problem. It's a big it's a big problem.
It's not enough for us to make art about our culture. It's not enough for us to be visible. We need to be accepted into these spaces as well. We need art people there.
Yeah.
So it's not just us being artists. We can't just be putting it out there. If they don't accept us, then we need our
then
people
we'll do
up
our,
there.
We'll do our own spaces.
Exactly.
Yes, through all disciplines. And that's a new thing. True. And I believe that's in Vegas. That's possible.
That's super important because we say it all the time, or I do anyway. It's like it's really easy to play the victim and say like, mm-hmm. oh, mm-hmm. there's nobody here that represents us. Well, guess what? Guess what, Mimi? We did. But guess what? We can create our own spaces,
absolutely.
Right? Like, I know this is going to sound corny or whatever, but look at like Jay-Z and Beyonce, okay? Look at them. Who is signing their checks? Nobody. Exactly. They are the bosses of their own company. They're creating opportunities for people. They are the bosses. That is their space.
Yeah.
And there's nobody to tell them what to do because you can play the game. You can be a person of color and be in with mm-hmm. everybody, hanging out with the president of the United States, but who in the end is signing that check?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Who is signing that check? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Where's that money coming from? Mm-hmm. Shout out to our sponsors today here at Latinos Who Lunch.
Hey, B.
Shout out to Blue Apron. So, anyway.
Okay, let's shift it a little bit because I think we're going to end up all getting super depressed.
I know, right?
I want to know how is it to work with Fabi.
Oh my God!
Oh,
get into it.
Well, let's start with Jess, and she's new, and she doesn't, you know.
Yeah. Jess, you first.
Carla's like, wow. I got something.
Let me just make the list now.
No, it's really great. I honestly think it's great. Unless, Carla, you're making a face. No.
Oh! Oh! Somebody's getting fired. I'm just kidding.
It's honestly been really amazing. I mean, if you had read my my essay I sent to the professor in charge of my internship. No, so many great. Wonderful things I said about you. I have it saved on my computer. I can send it over to you.
Don't do it. I don't like feelings. You know that.
Send it to me.
Yeah, no, you can send
and
it.
And you'll give them little by little what I said. No, but I just, Favi does so much. So much, almost too much in this community.
No, like, and it's great.
Ridiculous.
Go like, on, what he go does. On.
I know, like, I'm there. When I started out, I was only there 2 days a week, 5 hours each, 10 hours a week. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, every day was different. You were constantly either meeting up with other podcasts, you were meeting with community, like, Boys and Girls Club, mm-hmm. you were either gallery shows, you were making art, you were having meetings in here, you were doing podcasts, you were editing, answering emails, answering phone calls, you were handling Tilt in the Basin, like,
yeah,
you were like 2 or 3 different gallery shows, getting residencies, doing RuPaul's Drag Race, and I literally saw, like, the art world, all the possibilities that I can take here in Vegas. Mm. You do all of it.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's beautiful.
Not what I learned.
Yeah. Really beautiful.
Yeah, commercial galleries.
I'm getting choked up over here.
You've been with museums. Yay. For Favi.
No, that's cool. I'm so glad that you got to go to DragCon with us.
Oh.
Because you love Drag Race just as much as we do. And I was like, I'm so glad we got to bring our peeps to that.
It was awesome.
It was so funny.
It was so good. I'm sorry you had to carry your backpacks for an hour.
I was happy. I was like, you guys let me be here and it was free. I have, oh my gosh, I saw all my favorite queens. I saw Katya and Sasha and...
Oh, all the white ones, yeah. Yeah.
I saw Valentina.
I didn't get too close to Valentina because I didn't want to melt, you know?
But yeah. She walked by me and she smiled at me her. And I... My heart.
Mm-mm.
Dios.
Mm-mm.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, and I'm happy that I can... I hope that someday I'll be able to, like, have, like, full-time assistance because you guys are helping whenever you can. And, you know, I'm not, like, making the big bucks. I'm just surviving, you know? But someday I think, you know, I'll be cashing Jay-Z checks.
He's a job creator. He's a philanthropist.
Oh, you guys, God. You guys have you worked together this whole semester.
Yes.
Was there ever any fights?
Ooh,
staring
no,
the pot.
No.
Fights with what?
I don't know.
No.
There's never fights with me. What are you talking about?
Ay, cabrona.
You're a special kind of girl.
You need dental reminders.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. That's good. That's good to hear that.
You're trying to get some drama out of this?
Yes!
You know what I did love, though, is, like, I didn't know if you, Carla and Jess, if you guys knew each other. Mm-hmm. So when I was like, hey, Carla, I ran into Jess. I'm like, you guys know each other from school? Because you never know, right? You never know.
Oh, I hate that.
Yeah, and you're like, yeah, I know her. She's cool. We don't really hang out that much, but whatever. You know, like, I know her. I was like, okay, because I think she's going to start helping around the studio, too. And the first day you guys worked together, it was like I wasn't even fucking here, bitch.
Oh.
The cheese meal was so good. I was
so
like,
much to
it was
say.
Like you guys had so much pent up inside of you. I really saw. I was like, they should be paying me right now because the healing that is happening in this room, I am feeling it right now. That cheese meal was so
like
good.
You're like Beyonce, like
I was like, just go
providing
ahead.
A platform.
Go ahead.
It's interesting.
It
like
was funny.
We've always been peers. We've run similar friend groups. It's just I've always. Kind of been on my own, and you have your group of friends, and I just never put myself out there in that university. It made things difficult.
Yeah, well, we always like went to the same parties. It's like, oh, Carla's there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was
people, we would chat. And
yeah.
Do people ever confuse you guys?
They do.
White people.
Wow. For real?
They do.
White
no,
people.
Es cierto.
No, white people are like, yeah. Oh, are you and Carla related? You look alike. I'm like, no, we're just brown.
You guys don't look anything alike.
No, no you don't. Don't.
I mean, if no. I put red lipstick.
You tilt your head up a little.
Yeah. And then I do like I have a picture where I tagged her and we look
sorta. Alike, but it's literally because we're at the same angle. And it's my sister said any Latina can do that face angle and you look the same.
They're like, what's up, Chola?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, oh, you guys look
oh my
similar.
Gosh.
I don't see it at all.
But people do. I think professors have asked. And I'm like, no, I think that's probably Jess you're talking about. Like, because I already know it was a story. Like,
yeah. And then I'd have them like tell me stories like, oh, you were in my class last semester. I was like, I didn't take your class. That's Carla.
Ooh. You know what's funny is I think because I have a white name, Justin, mm-hmm. I didn't ever get confused for other people. Yeah. But I think if I had a name like Emmanuel, I've heard people call you Miguel before, Manuel, Jose.
Did you ever get the mixed up?
I know Jose is my favorite.
In like classes where it's like you had the white name and then someone had a more ethnic name, but they were white.
No.
Oh, it happened to me. So I had a friend named Maria. She's Russian. And we were sitting in class and one teacher was like, Jessica, Jessica. And she wouldn't turn around. She's like, Jessica, Jessica. And then she was like, Maria, tell Jessica to turn around. And I was like, I'm Jessica. That's Maria.
No mames.
Oh, it was bad. And my friend was just like, are you kidding me?
That's why I disclose at the beginning of each of my class, don't take this personally, but I'm not going to memorize any of your names because I cannot even memorize the names of the artists that I'm talking about.
He really doesn't even know who's in his classes. So if you guys ever go take one of Babelito's classes and you're like, I really had a connection with that professor. He has no idea who you are.
Oh. No, I mean, once we start talking, I do. I remember my students, but I don't remember their names. I just don't. Like, you have to keep in mind that sometimes I will have, like, up to 150 students in one semester. Like, it really is nothing. It's nothing personal, but that's just...
You remembered me,
so
right?
Bad. Yes, because you will come to me after every single lecture and talk to me about what you were going to work on. So I remember
that wasn't me, was it?
Yes.
Are you sure it wasn't me?
No. No, you're not going to do that to me. Yo, I remember you like talking about the Virgen de Guadalupe book, the development of your paper. I remember it.
Oh, wow. I actually commuted with a professor for once. Who inspired that? Goodness.
That's hilarious.
And then we only started like really knowing each other through like Publicus, like you coming in.
Yes.
And then Vivian and then...
Yeah, because Vivian works with you. Yeah. Shout out to Vivian.
Shout out to my best friend
and
Vivian.
She also took one of my classes.
Shout out to Publicus. They've been sponsors to the show for a couple episodes.
Rasalila.
Okay. All right. I don't know what's happening now, but so what's going on now? So you're about to graduate.
Yes.
You already have. What are your big plans now that you're... Uh-oh. You know, now that you have an art degree, Jess, what are you going to do?
Live? I don't know. Currently, I'm just like trying to build up financially to pay off a student loan.
Mm.
And then just keep working. I wanted to get a full time, but now I'm on the fence of like, maybe I should just continue where I work part time and here and just kind of really clear my head before making a huge jump of like, oh, I need money. I need this. I need to rush my life.
Yeah.
Like just really figure things out.
Carlucha, what do you think?
I have to work on my portfolio before I would go on to grad school or try to apply for grad school. And I'm doing studio art, hopefully. I'm looking at a couple schools and working to get letters of rec. Hey.
Don't look at me, girl. I can't even write my name. Just kidding. Hago el esfuerzo para ti. Okay, cool. So you're thinking about grad school.
I am.
Higher education. Higher and higher,
well,
baby.
Well, if it comes, I'm not going to stress about it. Just want to do my work. I want to start working and really, really give it a chance.
Yeah. So what, I mean, I hate it when people ask me because they're like, well, what do you want to do for the rest of your life? And I always say, I just want to keep making art and having and sustaining this life.
Yeah.
Like, so if it means whatever that I have to live like very modestly, then that's what I'm going to do for the rest
of
my life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I don't judge success by the money
exactly.
that I make through art.
Exactly. Because I know a lot of people that have a lot of money that are really miserable.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm in a good place right now and I'm just kind of trying to hold that, keep that buzz.
Ride
going.
The wave.
Yeah. Ride that wave, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Carla, you said you were going to travel to Mexico.
Yeah, I'm going to spend a month in Mexico, Mexico City. And I understand Jess is too.
It was just a week.
Just a week.
Just a week.
I'm going to spend a month and probably just do some research out there and maybe do some work as well while I'm there. And some thinking natural fibers, natural dyes. There's some something very specific about Mexican colors and churches that I gravitate to. And I should really explore that visual language and really like come home with that in mind. And seeing Vegas and seeing the comparison, you know, remember in your Baroque class, you showing us Catholic churches in Puebla, and just getting like that, just I was reeling, like the colors were just gorgeous, and you know, something about that. I need to go.
Girl, I have a list of places that you should see while you're in both Mexico City and in Puebla. But I think for a student, I remember when I was a student, when I took a sociology class, and the professor said it is so important for kids to travel because we are in a bubble in this country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we need to see other cultures and how other cultures live. And even if you just go to cousin's house somewhere in Mexico and just live with them for a couple of weeks, yeah, then you are going to put so many things in perspectives. It's a connection to your culture, but also to family, to history, to so many different things. Yeah. I've done several trips, which I'm still paying for, but the last one really shaped the way that I'm writing, or I'm finishing my dissertation now. Like, yeah, I took a trip and I went to Mexico City, my first trip to Puebla, Guanajuato, Zacatecas, mm-hmm, Querétaro. I remember I got a grant and I just said, I just want to go look at paintings. And yeah, that's all I did for a month. And that trip still is influencing the way that I write. So it's so important. I know we all don't have the privilege to do that. But if you do, like, take full advantage of that, because that's completely going to change whatever, especially if you're somewhere in the studying something in the humanities or artistic practices. That's so, so important. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really shaped you, also physically. When you ate that taco and you put dirty water in your mouth from the ground, from that puddle. We remember that story.
Yes.
He's a changed man.
¿Cómo olvidar la payasa?
Ay, no, qué cosa. So let's talk. Well, we are Latinos Who Lunch. We just ate pizza, but.
Oh, I love pizza.
I know, me too. Okay, let's get into pizza then. Fuck it.
Pizza.
Let's get into pizza. So what is your fave? What's your favorite type of pizza? Ooh, toppings?
Okay. Jess wants to
style. Get into it, Jess. Get into
it. Okay, so my family's obsessed with pizza. Like, my dad built a pizza oven. You saw it, right?
My dad's fixing an oven up right now. He's making one.
See? Pizza oven.
Okay. I gotta say, Jess, Jess's house is beautiful. Like, your parents built that house,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, my dad built it. And then, he bought the property years ago, and then he met my mom and was like, okay, I'm going to marry this lady and build a house.
Wow.
And so that's like, what?
Qué romántico.
My dad wants to build a house in Mexico, but he's just been renovating ours.
Well, that's good, too.
Yeah. That was
constantly for years. Yeah.
So, okay, tell me. So your dad built a pizza oven in the backyard,
yeah,
right?
So he built it, and then now he's like, he goes crazy on it during spring and summers.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So he'll throw little parties, and he's like, I'm going to buy the whole neighborhood. He makes pizzas for the neighbors. So, like, one of my favorite pizzas, though, is a Mediterranean pizza we make. It's not really Mediterranean. It's
There's just feta cheese on it.
It's okay. So it's sometimes we do rosemary dough, or it's just, like, the regular white dough. And then we put the sauce, and then it's feta cheese mixed in with regular cheese, and then cucumbers, and then a little bit of, well, the cucumbers are added later. So cucumbers, and then olive oils, and then put with a little bit of olive oil on top.
¿Y cuándo es la fiesta?
I don't know, but I'll invite you. I'll let you guys know.
Oh my gosh. So you like wood fire thin crust
pizzas? Yeah, so good. It tastes so good.
Oh.
It's so good. The taste is different.
It's wood fire, right?
Yeah.
Or is it charcoal?
So what he does is he puts the wood in there and lets it disintegrate completely. Then he pushes it to the back and the edges.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So whatever heat is in there cooks the pizza instantly within 5 minutes.
Amazing. Where's your family from? Are they norteños by any chance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
De dónde?
So my mom's from Durango, and then my dad's side is all Juarez and Chihuahua.
Yeah. I was like, I know that technique, bitch. Okay. Oh, also, I call people bitch all the time, and I didn't realize that until I heard you talking about it yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Does it offend you when I say it? I don't know.
It doesn't. It just took me back for one moment, because for the longest time, I've stopped letting guys call me that.
Oh, okay.
And like, but in relationships.
It's the tone.
I don't take it. Like, yeah. I don't care if you're joking in the relationship. So when you said it, I looked and I was like, oh, I don't feel bad. It was just like, it was like a double
take. I know what you're saying, because
words,
my advisor,
words mean
shout out Kirsten,
yeah,
she just called me bitch for the first time like 2 months ago, and I've known her for 10 years.
Yeah.
And he said, whatever, bitch. And I looked at her. I was like, okay, so this is a new development in our friendship. Beautiful.
Like, I did a double take, and I'm like, does that mean we're friends now?
No, sorry. So,
bitch.
Oh my gosh. I think I do it too much. I need to calm down. But
okay. I know. I've been thinking about that too, because you don't know how people are going to take it.
No.
Pero se me sale.
We are on NPR the other day and I almost called Joe a bitch. But I was like, this white man is, the heteronormity is too strong in here. It's going to be too weird. Oh, yeah. Lord. Yeah. Anyway, back to pizza.
My pizza.
Yeah, yeah.
Pizza. So I had moved out of my parents' house, and then I finally got my own room somewhere for the first time. And my guilty pleasure was just ordering Domino's pizza like 2 a.m, putting on Netflix.
Speaking of guilty pleasures,
opening the door up, you know, to this poor like 17-year-old boy that'd always deliver the pizza, and I'd always be like in a nightgown or something, like half asleep, take my pizza, and it was always extra extra cheese, double cheese, pineapple, salami, and some spinach.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Because, you know, it's online and you can pick it out. You don't have to say over the phone. Like, I feel guilty giving all these special requests to people, but that's how I did mine up.
The internet's changing the world, baby.
Salami or chicken, it depends how I feel.
But earlier you guys were talking about, what, Costco pizza?
Costco pizza!
How?
So I love Costco pizza!
That's so good.
By the slice, the whole pie.
It's huge. It's huge.
Is it good?
No, it's really good.
It's
cheese. It's good. Amazing. Like, it's cheese.
I'm exactly. I'm not even fucking with you.
No, it's good.
Thank you, Jess.
We should have done that since he's doubting.
I know. No, I'm going to get a Costco membership just to get that pizza, bitch.
I have a person.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, what's your fave?
My favorite
pizza?
What
kind of pizza is your fave?
I like thin crust pepperoni, that's it. But
no,
I have a story. When we were kids, we had a neighbor that was Italiano. So he in his cochera, like open garage, he built his own pizzeria. So
what?
Yes.
Wait, was this in Mexico?
Vegas has
this was in Juarez. Yeah. This was in Juarez.
Oh my God.
So we used to go there, and there will be a line like around the corner because he will do one by one. So you go and sit and have like a 30-minute conversation with him. He will prepare the pizza, bake it, wait till it's ready, and then bring the next person. So it was like a whole afternoon.
You're
thing.
So lucky, you know that?
It was amazing. It was amazing.
He's so lucky.
His name was Tonino. Aww. So it was like
Stop
la
it.
Pizza de Tonino los domingos every Sunday.
You know why you're so lucky? Because from my experience in Mexico, it's been so hard to get a good pizza.
Yes.
Oh, no. I know what you mean. There was one pizza I got with like a weird like white creamy thing in the middle. What is that?
They put like cream cheese sometimes.
Yeah.
Like every time
hasta ketchup le ponen.
Ketchup? Or they just like cut up weenies like hot dogs?
Oh, yes.
Instead of pepperoni?
And the pepperoni isn't good either. Something's wrong with the pepperoni.
Okay, but this is what I don't understand. It's like Mexican flavors are so good.
Yeah.
Like you could.
No, I've had like quesadilla pizzas. In
with chorizo.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Put some squash blossom.
But it's the brands, aren't they? The ones that are weird.
It's the weird ones.
The American brands in Mexico are weird.
And then they try to emulate like Pizza Hut or whatever, and it just comes out this like gross.
They don't do
But you're
Italian
right. This is how lucky I am. The local Pizza Hut went to Tonino and they wanted to buy his salsa recipe. That's how good it was.
So lucky.
Is he still around?
Descansa en paz. No, ya
no,
está viejito.
No, but think about it. Like, think about una pizza con, like, with salsa, you know, like, with that good-ass cheese and, like... Think about it. And then, like, that's my favorite type of cheese.
Hey, Jess's dad.
Oh, my God.
And no, then, we just, like, buy all the ingredients that people want. And then we just, like, okay, what do you want on this? What do you want on this?
Una de lengua.
Oh.
Damn.
Okay. All right. We're done.
We're starting a pizzeria.
Oh, yeah. What's my favorite?
I don't know.
I just have very, so.
Cold pizza?
We used to. You better shut the fuck up. I used to go to church a lot when I was young too, and I would always like our services are like 4 hours long, like they Sunday,
yeah, 4 hours long.
So
sometimes it would go over like an hour more,
yeah, because the spirit was present.
Oh,
Jesus shows up, bitch. So
showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Long.
So, but my tia Maribel would always take us to Pizza Hut after. And it was like 2.5 hours in, I'd always be like, okay, just think about that pan pizza. Think about that pan pizza. They just introduced stuffed crust. You can do it. You can work past the Sunday school sermon. Like,
God help me.
So I have really fond memories of Pizza Hut because of that.
I remember the bar for the buffet. The buffet. That's what I remember.
Yes, I love that as a kid. God.
And the
sunflower seeds.
Dessert pizza. Oh,
no. The dessert pizza. I never tried. Cece's Pizza stole that.
Oh, my God.
But I know
how much is Cece's Pizza now? It used to be like 99 cents for buffet or like $2
now
for buffet.
Now it's like 6 or almost 10. Viejito.
Yeah, vámonos pues. Let's go to Cece's Pizza. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, it's been really fun talking. Actually, we're not done. Let's take a little break. Let's take a little breather, and then we'll come back and close the show. Babelito. Today's episode has been brought to you by the original Lindo Michoacan on East Desert Inn. Hey guys, have you guys ever been to Lindo Michoacan, the original on East Desert Inn?
Yeah,
absolutely.
What is your fave? Thing
that
there.
Sopa de fideo.
We always talk about it.
Yes. Just like my grandma's. I don't know how they do it.
Shout out to your grandma because she makes a good sopa.
Mm-hmm.
Jess, what about you?
No, it's the same thing. Yeah. It's a sopa.
You know what? That sopa, their tortillas, their chips and salsa, like their basics. Mm-hmm.
The margaritas.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay, here's a little tip. If you guys go to Lindo, you know, there's a lot of white people. So they have their generic margaritas, right? Their margaritas. But if you want to get the good
the
shit,
margarita,
or order an organic margarita.
Santo
you
Nino
heard it here first. Mm-hmm.
So that's like fresh lime, fresh everything. It's so bomb.
My favorite thing there lately are the carnitas. I mean, it's Michoacan after
all.
Oh, the carnitas.
I wrote a story about those carnitas. It's so good.
Yes.
So good. And for all Latinos Who Lunch listeners, Lindo is offering a special 25% discount if you go to the original Lindo Michoacan on East Desert Inn and say you are an LWL listener. They will give you 25% off.
¿Cuánto?
25%.
Aleluya.
Save water. Drink margaritas. And we're back. Hi.
Bienvenida.
All right, so this portion of the show, we like to do recommendations. So just talk about some things that we've all been into recently. Maybe share a podcast, a book, a story, a product. Not really products
not a product.
You know, we ain't trying to buy shit here. But who wants to go first?
Oh, everyone's looking at me. Okay.
Or Carla.
I mean, I can go.
Yeah.
So Jess introduced to me last night this roller skating team, Moxie.
What?
Roller skates girls, like they are a skating group from Long Beach, California, and they're just these amazing girls. They skate over in Long Beach and they look awesome doing it. They do flips, they've got big old thighs, they're muscular. They
yes,
love it.
They're everything.
Moxie, so it's like M-O-X-I.
Yes, M-O-X-I.
And then do they have like YouTube videos and stuff?
Yeah, they do. Yes. Tutorial videos. They teach women around the country like how to skate, how to properly skate safety, and then they also do tricks. Like it's a group of them doing different tricks and going around.
That's
California.
Awesome. So they're on tour.
Whoa.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
Weren't they in that Chet Faker video?
I think so. Or it was either Trained or something like that. Mm-hmm.
Can you guys roller skate?
I used to. Crystal Palace.
One time I found these vintage roller skates at this bar, Rebar, shout out.
Yeah.
And I put them on. They were my size. And if they weren't $65, I'd get them. They were.
I have a pair of roller skates that I bought.
You should go to the rink.
I fall. They do music nights.
They do like Crystal Palace. They do theme nights.
They don't do Latino nights?
No, they don't. It's just like kiddie pop.
Suavemente on roller skates?
I was going to say como la flor, pero como suavemente. Or mayonesa.
Parte la... Okay. oh, wow. They should do a Latin night at Crystal Palace. They should do it.
It will be lit.
Crystal Palace is the old skating rink here in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. I think there's two of them, right?
Yes. There's Green Rant?
Boulder Greenland? Highway, right?
Or Boulder Highway.
Yeah.
And then there's the one on Flamingo, and there's a Crystal Palace on Flamingo and like Fort Apache.
Do you guys remember the commercial?
Anyways, your turn, Jess.
I still don't know how to skate.
So I've been really into these guys, Cuba Skates. or school, Cuba skate.
Damn.
And so,
y'all are super into skating right now.
Oh, I am. So, like, what they do, it's a nonprofit organization, and they help get boards out into Cuba because resources are limited, and they don't really import skateboards. So a lot of people build their own. A lot of kids will, like, find hand-me-downs from family members. So what they do is they have people build boards here, and they ship them over there for free, and they give classes. They actually rebuild old skate parks or locations and make them into skate parks.
That's awesome. So. Man, see, there's an audience for everything. Like, there's the type of things you didn't think about, and boom.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That's so cool.
That's cool.
And they have a volunteer page for people who are interested.
Para, vámonos a Cuba, pues.
Exactly. Oh. Let's go build some skate parks.
Tickets are only like $300, you guys.
What's that?
Tickets are only like $300.
Yeah.
Vámonos.
Órale.
Let's roll.
¿Y tú qué rollo?
Well, I want to recommend a podcast.
Uh-huh.
We talked about it on our last full episode. There's this couple, best buddies, male identifying and female identifying Latinx couple. They've been best friends for years, and they started a podcast. And it's called Latinx Besties.
I remember that email. We read part of that email in our last listeners episode.
Yeah.
So good. And they have what, like...
3 episodes right now.
By now, they probably have four or five. Yeah.
Yeah. So check them out there on SoundCloud. We'll put a link on our website. Thank you guys so much for representing. They're from Minneapolis.
Minneapolis. That's so cool. We need more Latino representation in different parts of the country.
So yeah. Well, there's so much art coming out of that town. Like,
is it?
Hello, Prince.
True.
Have you ever heard of Paula Abdul, Maria Bamford?
It's actually lit
there's,
up there.
Yeah. There's a lot of really amazing people.
Awesome.
Okay.
So
why do you look so mad?
I'm not mad.
Change your face, bitch.
I'm thinking this is when I think I look like I'm mad. Anyway, so my recommendation is an Argentinian singer who just came out with a new album. She is probably my favorite Argentinian singer. Her name is Juana Molina, and the album is called, if you pronounce it in Spanish, is Halo, or in English is Halo. It's been described as minimalist folk art, but don't, again, that term, folk, bullshit. It's just badass, awesome, minimalist music. And I remember listening to it in Albuquerque when I first started grad school, and that was my go-to album when I will study or even running, because it's just bum-bada, 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 bum for an hour. It's wonderful.
Wow.
You look petrified, but it really is beautiful, beautiful. And I just listened to the new album a couple of weeks ago, and I'm in love. So again, it's Juana Molina, and the album is called Halo or Halo.
Wow. Awesome.
¿Qué estás mordiendo, güey?
I don't know.
Tíralo a la basura.
So thank you so much once again to Carla and Jess. Do you guys have anything you guys want to say before we end the program?
Any more praises before you go?
Anything else you want to say? You know what?
I guess we didn't praise.
Actually, excuse me. I have a question to ask you. How was it having this dude as your professor at UNLV? How were his classes? I want details here.
If you look at Rate My Professor,
does
on
he have
the
a
third
hot...
No.
Oh.
I have a column?
I don't know. We'll see.
Do I have any red chilies?
I knew you were going to ask that.
I was just going to say. I'm like, just hot, hot, hot.
Well, I've seen a lot of the professors at UNLV. I'm sure you do. So
stupid.
So, yeah, how was it being in his classes?
He's very passionate.
Oh, okay.
And I really liked that he actually cared about what he was speaking of, and I didn't encounter another professor like that until a little later. Well, I guess there was a couple of art history professors, but there's something about you really enjoying what you're teaching, and you always give context, and you always step back. It's like, oh, well, this is, you know, privilege is seen here, and you always step back, and you know, it wasn't just straight cut curriculum. You put a lot of different social context into it, and you brought it now. You did some, you know, the back and forth there, and opened up discussions, and that was
that's
nice.
Good to hear.
Nice.
I'll take
you
it.
You do have a chili pepper.
Hey! What's his score?
It doesn't show.
4.5 out of what?
But yeah, quality. Out
of 5.
Out of 5.
Wow.
He's not hard. You're a tough grader. Oh my gives good God. Feedback, amazing lectures, and inspirational.
Oh. Oh. Okay, how many chili peppers does he have?
Uno? It doesn't show. Oh. It doesn't show on
Is there awesome. Any comments?
Yes, there is.
Okay, let's see.
Ortega was great. His passion for art history shows. Glue yourself to the study guides and vocabulary. That is key to the midterm and final. That's overall, true. He is great. You want to attend class regularly due to his enthusiasm.
What did I say?
And then there's a few.
Okay, so you took one. You took his classes too, right?
Yeah, I did. When I first started going, when I transferred back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I took the Baroque history. And it was really good, except everybody in the room, like every time we left, they're like, he dresses so nice. He dresses so nice.
I try, man.
He did dress because nice.
I, coming from Albuquerque and some of the professors that I took classes with.
Really?
Con guaraches y la chingada. Like,
okay.
I like to be, no me fajo ni nada, but it's like dress pants, mis botas, y mis camisas sabrosonas.
Yeah. Sure.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about that because you guys are young, college-aged women.
Yeah.
What's the deal with people wearing pajamas to school? You do that? Tell me. Tell me the truth.
I would wear leggings all the time, but...
I don't wear pajamas, but mm-hmm. I do, like, on my lazy days, I'll roll out of bed and have, like, yoga pants on.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's, as bad as I go.
A professor shouldn't be wearing house slippers and...
Like, with socks?
No.
Con pantuflas?
No.
The same shirt?
No.
And
no.
On tenure, by the way. So, you know, you can buy shorts. And some baggy kind of sleeping pants, I could tell.
But see, that's the problem with the tenure system. Once you get tenure, you can do whatever the hell you want and you won't get fired.
Carla still has to graduate.
I know. I used to get a lot of crap, though. For overdressing in the art studios and overdressing in the in the school. They're like, Jess, why are you wearing a dress? You were gonna print make, or why are you wearing heels? You're gonna walk around. And it was just one of those things where it's like, well, if there's a presentation going off, there's something going on, I wanna show respect for myself, my work, and for those around me.
Yeah.
And that I take this seriously.
Yeah.
But there's just some
because you were raised the right way.
Yeah, no, that's my mentality. And that's that is how I was raised. Where it's like you dress to respect.
Yeah. I dressed really shitty in school, so I don't know why I am bringing it up. But I always think back to what Babelito, I think you were telling me, is like, well, you paid for classes, you can dress however the fuck you want.
Yeah.
But that's how I see it now too, is like, we are paying the professor's salaries. Mm-hmm. They need to dress like they're professors, like they're doing a job right now.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They're not just lounging. You know, even if it's a studio art class where the professor's just there for guidance, you know, it's still necessary for them to show up to work.
Shoes. I have my just teaching jackets and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, not when it's the summer, but
yeah.
It's
just...
It's that blue velvet one, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's iconic.
Okay. Yeah, cálmense, por favor. Oh, my God.
He's going to see all his classes filled up.
No, Carla,
waitlisted.
Carla, Jess, thank you so much for joining us today.
Muchas, muchas gracias.
Yeah, and you'll probably hear from them again sometime in the future. And we're going to put a link to your social medias and your art stuffs on our website. But for now, where can people follow you if they want to see your work?
I have an Instagram under my name, Carla Lagunas Artist.
Uh-huh.
And I also have a fun one where I just do things around town. That's also worth following, probably. I mean, if you want to see that sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
And then I have an Instagram under the name of Jess Vanessa with an extra A at the end. And then on there, there's a link to my art website.
Oh, great. So. All right. We'll put that all up on LatinosWhoLunch.com.
Hashtag support brown artists.
That's right.
Yes.
All right, guys. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, make sure to email us LatinosWhoLunch@gmail.com. And if you have a spare moment, please go to iTunes, go to Apple Podcasts, pizza pie. Go to Apple Podcasts and please write a review. That means a lot because the more reviews we have, the better. And when you go on there, make sure you rate us 5 stars.
5 stars only.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visibility. And visibility is
essential.
I'm Favi Fav.
And this is Bobby Little.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao, ciao.